There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
Welcome back to Well Said with Sid. I am Sid. I realize I never really introduced myself, so I'm formally introducing myself, especially if you're new here. Today's episode was something I've wanted to talk about for a really long time, and it's kind of the approach like in the laws of nature. And what I mean by that is like breath work, sound baths, stimulation in the body and all of these topics that come along with that of your nutrition, your movement, your environment, your sleep, all of these things coming together. I sat down with Harvey Martin, who is the head of human performance at the San Francisco Giants. And he's also the founder of the Mind Strong Project and a breath and human performance coach for that team, the San Francisco Giants. He works with a unique approach of the laws of nature. So he's creating adaptation through basic necessity of breathing, nutrition, movement, and sleep. And he works through environmental stressors and all of these things with athletes. And I just think, although he works with athletes, he really talked about the episode as being holistic for everyone, not just an athlete. And I walked away from this episode with tangible tools to apply to my daily life, which he gets to in this episode and in this podcast. And he also talks about the flows of life, the downs to bring you into the ups and the power of the people around you and learning. And this episode was so cool. Harvey is super intelligent and analytical and thought provoking. So I hope you feel and leave this episode feeling creative, empowered to be closer to nature and have some changes in your everyday lifestyle so that you can slim the stressors in your day-to-day life. Let's get into it. Harvey is here. How are we doing?
I'm doing well.
Welcome to Well Said. Absolutely. I'm excited to have you because as a former athlete, I say athlete very loosely because I was not a pro athlete. I was an athlete through my entirety of my life. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest memories I have of my previous life, of things that I've lived through, was giving up sports. I feel like that was a dark time for me because I didn't know what to do or where to turn. Yeah. So this conversation is going to be very exciting. And I think a lot of people can take away a ton of information from it. I'm hyped.
Yeah.
I know Harvey because of work and his wife, who is the best person on the planet. So I'm excited that you're here because clearly you've obviously got to be a good person considering the relationship. but will you give an elevator pitch? I already introduced you, but a little bit of who you are, what people can know about you right off the bat.
Yeah, sure. My name is Harvey Martin. I am also a former athlete, so I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit and talk about that. It's interesting, and I think we'll get this throughout the cast. Who am I? Mm-hmm. I'm writing a book currently that is exploring that question in general. So you have it. Yeah, and I was just writing before I came over here. So I'm going to steer away from the resume of I do this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. But to start, just for the listeners to do the this, this, and this.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a human performance coach with the San Francisco Giants. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that. This will be my fourth year.
Oh, wow.
I finished a book, so I really liked the title of writer, author. That was always kind of a long-term vision and dream of mine. And then, like I said, kind of foreseeing the future, publishing more books, and seems like that's looking like the potential path in the future. So
that's awesome.
I really like the parallel of human performance coach as sort of this job that I've been doing for a while and something that it keeps me activated with teaching, and then writing, which is kind of like my solo mission.
Do you have a book out right now?
Yeah, my book currently out is called Breathe, Focus, Excel.
Oh, wow. Where can you get it? Amazon?
And everywhere? Yeah, Amazon and all the things.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had a book. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, Chelsea, you got to tell me these things. I would have read it. You know what I mean? That's really cool. I feel like you have a non-traditional career path. And I think that is one of the coolest things ever. I love picking the brains of people who picked a different individual path. Did you see yourself maybe at the age of 20 being where you are right now?
Wow. That's a cool question. I think that when I was 20, I was playing college baseball and I was pretty, I had a pretty good idea that I was going to play professional baseball. So I knew that that was, should happen. And so I would say I'm 34. I always perceived myself to be in Major League Baseball. So would I have said that I'd be a human performance coach in Major League Baseball? Probably not. But I always thought I'd be in Major League Baseball. So it's kind of a yes and no.
It's kind of one and the same in a little, in a way. It's kind of more beautiful that way that it ended up working out, but it was different. I feel like that's like the catalyst of living is like you think it's one thing and then it ends up being a little shift of the other, but it's still the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? It still was your wish, technically. You put your mind to it.
Absolutely.
You said human performance coach. What is that?
So I would call it's like a hybrid of like a mental skills coach. So I kind of work somewhat in like the psychological department and that's where that mental skills genre comes from, which is, which has been around for a little over 10 years in professional sports, to my knowledge. I know there's been like mental skills coaches for a long time, but being like an actual career path and actual go to college and do that whole thing. I want to say to when I recognized that was like 2010 as like a possibility. So I'm in this psychological realm. I'll like work in psychology and mental skills and shifting mindsets and talking about perspective and all the subjectiveness. But then the hybridness comes from, and I'll kind of use the word performance here, where that's more in your like physiology realm. So that's not a PT. I'm not doing like athletic training or PT work or any of that therapy, physical therapy. But I work heavily in like recovery. So I'll work on anything that disrupts physiology, whether that's sleep, movement, breathing, obviously, which is huge into my world, or just kind of understanding how the nervous system works.
Wow. That's amazing. I feel like I wouldn't even know where to start if I was to say, how do you go about doing that? Like, can you dive into like, let's say maybe even an example of like what you would work on with someone and what you're seeing?
That's a good question. I think that for me, and you kind of already alluded towards this, is kind of establishing like a non-traditional path. When I played sports and when I was growing up, I've always been cerebral. Like I find a lot of peace and sustainability and being alone and thinking. And I think that's where my curiosities lead me towards like something like this, like just a conversation. And that plays really well in psychology. So if you're interested in that and you're interested in listening to people, you tend to go down the cerebral path, which is what I was always into. Now, like I said, when I was in my 20s, it was play Major League Baseball, be a good pitcher, make millions of dollars, do all the things, right? I wouldn't have been, I wasn't sitting there going, I can't wait to do podcasts and write books and be a in psychology. Like that wasn't really my thing. But if I was outside of performing in sports, like I was doing this, I was only interested in hanging out with you if we could have a conversation. I was only interested in the depth of thinking of things, right? Yeah, and so then the irony was I went to college at Central Michigan, then I went to Minnesota State where I kind of got into grad school.
I, by the way, I almost went to Central Michigan for lacrosse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I literally visited it and everything. Yeah,
the chips, fire up. Yeah, that's cool. I think they're pretty good too.
I don't know. I wanted to go to a big, big school and I wanted to be closer to home than even Michigan. So I don't know what was in my brain back then. That was 18-year-old me. So FYI. Anyway, keep going. That's a coincidence though. I didn't know that.
That is a coincidence. That's funny. That's pretty cool. Well, so when I went to Minnesota State, I took some psychology classes and I was like, this is really cool. When I got to, when I played, I just gravitated towards our mental skills coaches and was really into psychology and what they were teaching. The irony of this was that when my third year playing, I came down with what's called the yips, and it's basically like a performance anxiety.
I was going to say, I think Jordan was telling me, my fiance, about this when we were at a game before. We were talking about someone and then he said this. But basically it's in your head?
Well, so this is where I think I established my pursuit of what I'm doing is because I was somebody who can't have the yips, basically. Like I was somebody who is supposed to be, I was supposedly playing professional baseball because of my mind. Like I was this mentally resilient person, very good thinker, very aware, whatever the, when you're a professional athlete, you're, everything's based off projection. So all the scouting, all the things are like, this is what this guy is. This is what he does. And one of my things of what I was good teammate, hardworking, and has a lot of awareness. So then all of a sudden you can't throw a pitch. The yips is, in my opinion, if I were to explain what it is, have you ever seen Space Jam?
Yes. It's been a minute though.
Do you remember when they like take all the powers out of the basketball players mm-hmm. and they put them in the ball?
Yep.
And they like all of a sudden can't dribble?
Yep.
That's what the yips are.
Okay.
So you essentially lose your powers.
Do you know why it happens?
Well, so for me, how it came to me was it's supposedly perceived as a psychological like freeze state, which it is. Like wow. You're in a frozen thing. Like you get the ball or a golf or you get a putt, a tee or whatever. And you like freeze up. You essentially mm-hmm. literally like freeze. You can't problem solve. You can't consciously, rationally think.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So you can't do your thing.
And it can just happen.
It happens to people all the time.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
And so for me, where that happened with me was then I get out of sports and I was really upset, as you can imagine, with myself because I was getting released for something that I should never be released for.
Okay. So this literally affected your game to the point of see you later, basically.
Yeah, I got released out of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I couldn't play. It was over. And I had teams that called me afterwards and I, you know, like wasn't able to do it. So I couldn't play, you know? And
I didn't even know this like existed to that extreme. I mean, it's an extreme, but I didn't realize it was that bad. I thought, oh, it was like, it happens for a few games and then they're back.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, it was, well, it bled into a lot of stuff in my life. Like I had trouble flying. I would have like these panic attacks and I would have anxiety. It's anxiety. It's insane anxiety. And what was really fascinating to me was one of the ways that I, you know, I get out of sports and it's like, okay, well, you're not going to play baseball anymore, but you want to travel, you need to fly. Like, okay, you have this, people want to hear you speak and you like have to speak, like you need to figure these things out. So it was very much disrupting my life and affecting like jobs and things that I was going to be able to not do if I didn't figure this out.
That would be a dark place.
Oh, it was very dark. It was a very dark place. And I have no problem communicating or talking about this stuff. So it's fine, whatever route or question you want to go into, but
there's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. What I learned was I met a guy. I'd share the story very often. I've been sharing it for a few years. He's one of my closest friends now, Daniel Wilson, down in Arizona. He was doing breath work at this gym that I trained at. And I saw him doing breath work and I asked him what he was doing. Obviously, I saw kind of what he's doing, but it was different breath work. It was Wim Hof. It wasn't big yet. Like people weren't, it wasn't on Instagram.
Yeah. You know? That's so, when you know it's big too. Yeah.
So
it's true.
So it was like, I was watching this guy do this breathing and there was nowhere else that I was seeing or hearing or communicating on this type of breath work. So I asked this guy what he was doing and he had told me, he was like, I don't know if he wasn't familiar with like what he was going to teach me or what he wanted to do. He just told me to come over to his house and do it with him. And his wife now, but girlfriend at the time, was a meditation teacher out of Japan. She barely spoke really any English. And I went over there one time and he took me through this breathing. She kind of did some like sound baths, some like meditation with me. They had a wood burning sauna that they built.
Wow.
And he had a cold creek by the house. Yeah.
And insane. What year was this?
That was like 2015.
So early, because the cold plunge and sauna trend, you know how it kind of became a trend, even meditation, I feel like became a trend, quote unquote, was much later than this, like 5 years plus later.
Yeah. And we can talk about, that's been really fascinating for my work now, which I would not have known this was going to happen. But in that time, he did this breath work with me and he just kind of challenged me to stick with it. And I did that for a few months. And then one of my goals was to swim in Lake Minnetonka, which is, ironic, kind of us living around this area. Mm-hmm. And I swam in the water and was, you know, as the story goes, super present, super aware, was able to control my body. But why I'm saying this is because what I learned about psychology is that it's actually physiology. So your psychological states is based off of your physiology.
Okay.
So your physiology speaks first. And if you're physiologically like unsound, we'll call it mm-hmm. that, then you are psychologically distressed. You have anxiety. You are depressed. You have things wow. that you're starting to perceive in your day to day as having something wrong with your mind. And under the hood, there's a lot going on. For mm-hmm. me, I was a chronic, and still am, I'm a mouth breather. I have crooked teeth. I have a pushback jaw. I had allergies and symptoms all through childhood. I had the whole deviated septum. I had all kinds mm-hmm. of things that were making me breathe through my mouth, and breathing's unconscious. To do that for 25 years, well, it's just like, think of the basic principles of physiology. A mouth breath is considered sympathetic. So for those listening, that's fight or flight. You're in a fight or flight tone, not saying that you're chronic, but a mouth breath is a tone. That's why working out is a sympathetic activity. You're in these tones, these acute tones. And to breathe through your mouth for days on end, you know, that's where if you do that for a lifetime, you have sleep apnea. You know, you have obesity, you have chronic anxiety, you have panic attacks.
You're in that different state.
All the time.
Wow. I did not know that. Okay. I'm like, and I have a deviated septum and I struggle. I've been trying to teach myself to breathe out of my nose, but it's all a little bit of like my claustrophobia comes to life because it's like, I've got my mouth shut. You know what I mean? And I'm like, that's not enough air. Like I feel immediate panic and okay, this is super interesting.
The first night I taped my mouth shut for sleep, it was insane panic because thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
I remember the first couple of weeks that my mouth tape would fall off on my chest, and I had to do that at the time. It was out of necessity, and that was a kind of a different story, but to kind of ride on what you're saying is, if you're not used to it, if you're used to breathing through your mouth chronically, what is it? It's a bigger hole. You bring in air, more air in, more air out. So to go and transition to the nose, it's really alarming. That's why, you know, any aerobic activity, you would want your athletes or you'd want anybody should be able to do that through their nose.
Yeah.
Because that's an aerobic tone. It's a more oxygenated tone and it's more mechanically sound. So you should be doing workouts through your nose and breathing through your nose. But the beginning of that is difficult. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So if you've been training for 20 years and then you go do a workout through your nose, you can't do it.
Yeah.
So people
they're like, I'm not going to do it then. You know, I don't need to work on it. Cause they also don't have the context that you're talking about of like, this is what happens long-term. Cause when people hear like, mouth breather to sleep apnea, they're like, yeah, right. I would not, it's not me. You know what I mean? Or like, no way, that's not affecting my performance, which is what you work with every single day of people. Mm-hmm. So people just, their mindset is closed after that. And they're like, that wouldn't be me. So they just stop. Right. From working on it. I'm curious, once you did this experience and you controlled your body in Lake Minnetonka and all these things, how did you transition that? And knowing like, I don't have a career path right now. Like I'm out of the sport. I can't fly. Like how did that transition to where you are right now?
Yeah, that's really cool. And the timing of that question lands for this podcast because I just got back from LA and I've been doing some presentations out in LA for the last couple of years. Shout out Deuce Gym. But they're really close friends of mine. And we went to dinner after a presentation literally whatever day it is right now, we went out on Saturday night. So under a week ago.
Yeah.
And that question was asked to me. So I'm wondering if I would answer it because I'm going to answer it how I answered it on Saturday. I wonder if I would answer that differently if I hadn't gone to LA.
Probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the answer that I can give to that is that when that happened to me, and you kind of already figured this out, like it was a pretty dark period of time for me. Mm-hmm. And, I was in my mid-20s. I was fresh off. I mean, minor league baseball is not lucrative at all. Like I signed for $500 and
oh my gosh,
you know, you make, I don't remember my pay stubs were $500-$600 every 2 weeks. So you do that and, you get out of sports, you're 26 years old with I'd never had a sustainable job. And so you're like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I was sleeping in my buddy's closet for a year and a half.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so you're sitting there in this position And the one thing, the truest answer I can give to that, now I found other ways to do this, but the truest answer I can give to that and the one I gave a few days ago was that it was the only thing that made me feel like a human. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it was like, why not? Like what would I do? I'm not gonna go focus on my job because this is what makes me feel human. And I'm going to this place on Saturday and it's making me feel a certain way and I'm feeling happy. And so I tried to get super quiet and aware of what that feeling meant and what I could do with that. Now, I think one of the things that I had going for me was that I've always been a dreamer. I'm in pockets of people where the people I'm close with are dreamers. Mm-hmm. They're successful in a material world, but they're successful internally. Mm-hmm. And they're successful because they're pursuing inspiration and dreams. And I was really, really fortunate to just be in a pocket of people who did that.
That's the ticket though. They say no doubt. You are and will be what you're surrounded with, you know, and like, yeah, and that's quite literally because it's access to information and experiences.
No doubt. And that's
so true.
I couldn't agree with that more. And so I had people who urged me to chase the feeling that I had. And I also was like this close to making it to the big leagues. And I had a lot of stuff that happened that made me believe that you can accomplish things in life. So where I'm going with this is that I had a network and people that I could knock on their door and ask, what did I just feel in that cold water? Mm-hmm. You know, I had doctors that would pick up the call. Like I had coaches and trainers that would send me to places around the country. And I even traveled overseas a few times to kind of learn about heat and cold and breathing. And I just was in like a really fortunate place where I knew enough people who kind of let me accelerate my curiosity. And that was, you know, when I say the closet in a weird way, I almost chose the closet because without having jobs, I had time. And I decided that if I could live in this kind of frugal, you know, this low maintenance, minimalistic way at this period of time in my life, I could kind of grab as much information. And that was the route I wanted to do. So I knew that I would be whatever you want to call success. I knew I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I knew that I would climb out of this. I knew that I had enough wherewithal to get myself a successful job.
You knew you weren't going to stay in the closet, but it's pretty crazy the mindset shift you had. As somebody who's I'm super analytical, probably sometimes overly analytical, and like, you know, I obsess over things in my brain, I want to learn and all that. It's crazy that you could have just been like, you know what, actually, I won't be in this. This is a kind of a blessing. I'm in this closet. It's a blessing that I have time on my side and I don't need a lot of money to mm-hmm. sustain my living. So I'm going to learn until I can activate it and bring it to life. I want to talk about the performance side in a second, but how did you take it from like, I'm practicing to like, I'm going to like, basically, I don't want to say practice with people, but how are, you know, lead people to do these things. I don't, because that's where I'm like, how did you do that flip?
Yeah. People just came to me, honestly.
Because they knew you knew.
Yeah. And you kind of touched on this before we even pressed record, but I'm in this macho atmosphere, right? And I think this is just my perspective. I think I gave a lot of people in the early days, like the okay to try, mm-hmm. I think. And I think that was where a lot of people felt really comfortable to just come and join. And I still, Didon, Daniel Wilson, his name.
Didon, I know, I like nickname. That.
No. Yeah, I'm trying to say his real name so people could understand it. But I was really fortunate to have Didon's house because he, you know, I don't know, probably 3 straight years or so, kind of allowed me to use his house and use his sauna and his cold tub and use his space to kind of guide. And I mean, I didn't charge for years because I was joining arms with people. It was like, I'm learning, I'm on the journey. You can come join. And it was a really like organic process. Where it transitioned into a career was it got to a point where it was like, all right, like I'm sick of not having any money.
Yeah.
And
especially after a few years of doing it and practicing. And
yeah, it was just like, I just had hit like a low point and it was like, all right, we're done here. Those were awkward times. And I had some cool mentors that kind of helped me learn how to charge and build a business. And then again, fortunately, the people who were reaching out to work with me, I had money. Like they were professional mm-hmm. athletes and professional coaches. And I was just, it was just like ripe. Like it was like a bunch of momentum. I'd built momentum from age 26 to 32 is when I got my first job in Major League Baseball. And I was at that point, I was working with like a significant amount of professional teams and players, but it was like 6 years. Yeah. Is that 6 years? Yeah. Yeah. 6 years worth of momentum.
Wow. So basically packing yourself with knowledge and experience. Feel like a lot of people forget that you actually have to put in the work to do those things. Like you don't just like become this thing. You don't read one like self-help book and all of a sudden you can help everybody. You know what I mean? Like it's like, it's the knowledge and the momentum. You can always help people, but just saying the knowledge and the momentum and the expertise and the circle you were in, that's, I mean, that's pretty freaking cool.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. I want to talk about like what it is you're actually doing. And I'll come back to toxic masculinity because I want to ask you a few things about that. Mm-hmm. But like, what is it that you're working on with like breath work, sauna cold tub, and sound baths in particular with these athletes?
So the first thing, and obviously athletes is easy for me to say, and I can give a lot of examples in the athletic space, but I think anybody listening to this, I'll talk general. So it sort of guides and helps, but realistically, and I'm going to share from my perspective, but from what my studying and a lot of like what I've kind of pieced together and picked up, you know, to your point of, well, I don't need this. Okay, that's fine. Starting largely from what I can understand as the industrial age was when we really transitioned out of natural living and we left holistic lifestyles. And to your point about the environment of the people you're around, it's not just the people, it's the environment that you're in. So 100%. You're not consciously strong enough individually to break the artificial light that you sit under and work for 10 hours a day. Yeah. And it's part of modern society.
Yep. Literally the ring. I pointed to the ring lights that we were under right now. Like,
yeah. And I would say, everywhere. Yeah. And I would say like a large scale movement is happening. And especially the Western part of the world of trying to learn that, okay, we screwed up a little bit and now we need to coexist with modern society and we need to implement holistic lifestyle in what we built because you're not going to rewind cities. Like New York City is built. And so where I'm going with that is that everything that I study or look at is based off of trying to see the trends of history and trying to see how that impacted our mind and body and our spirit unconsciously.
Wow.
So when I say that, why I say that is because you breathe unconsciously. Most, if not all, people who are extremely unaware of breathing, but also people who are, including myself and people who are aware of breathing, breathe mechanically on sound. We're very vertical breathers, meaning that we breathe north to south. We breathe into our chest, which is primed by mouth breathing. Like, and it's for people who are listening, like you can listen while I talk and take a breath through your mouth and you can feel the initial movement through your upper chest. You know, if you take a deep breath through your nose, you should feel the anatomy as a lower breath.
True. Actually, I felt that time. It does feel like, and when my anxiety is the worst, I'm breathing through my chest versus down through my, you know, where my nose would take it.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Nature set you up to work off of physiology. So the way in which your lungs are set up through gravity, all your oxygen and your blood sits at the bottom tier of your lungs, which are basically three tiers to it, upper, middle, low. And all the blood and the oxygen sits in the lower part of the lung. So in order to engage the diaphragm and really pull that down, you need to use your nose, which would pull that diaphragm down and then the lung would drop. So now all of a sudden you're wrapping this movement in the lower part of the lungs. You're filling up the heart. You're going into the extremities. The blood system works. You're oxygenating your system. You're healthy. You're safe.
When you're breathing through your nose,
yeah,
which is so what it wants you to do.
Yeah. And so that's a signal from your physiology that you're safe. So when that's why any meditation, yoga, anyone who doesn't even, they're always saying breathe through your nose. Well, that's signaling that I'm safe. So I can turn off the alarms. Like I'm good here. Okay. Well, when you take the breath through your mouth, okay, well, the way nature set you up, that's upper chest breathing. That's vertical breathing. So now all of a sudden you have less oxygen exchange in the upper part of the lung, but more importantly, that's sympathetic tone oxygen, that's fight or flight. So if someone runs in through this door right now to come after both of us without mm-hmm. me having enough time to be like, hey, we should run or hide over here. We would go.
Yeah. Like in a reaction.
Yeah. And we would freeze. Huh. We would freeze. And all of a sudden all of our sympathetic activity would take place. Our pupils dilate. We'd narrow in. We'd get up here. We'd get tight and we would react. Right.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So that's great in terms of nature. That's horrible in terms of consistency. And so when you find the modern society, the way in which we sit, the way in what we eat, the alarms of a city, the noise of overpopulated parts of the country, whatever,
everywhere,
it triggers that breath. It triggers
subconsciously.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
And so now all of a sudden you find yourself as a chronic mouth breathing upper chest country. And
which is what we are.
Try to spend the next 24 hours like being aware of every single breath. That's not possible and it's not feasible either. It's not something that we should be attacking. So what you should be attacking is what environment can you create that you unconsciously breathe through your nose? And that's where, you know, drastic decisions would have to take place. Like you'd have to look at your furniture. You'd have to look at your bed. You'd have to look at the amount of processed food.
Yep.
Processed food is taken in as a poison. So what's your response to that? To mouth breathe and try to crush that out of you.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's like people who eat a huge pizza and then they start sighing, you know, and they're trying to, it's mouth breathing.
Yeah. Cause, and why is that happening?
Well, cause it's a processed food. Your body's fighting it off. So it's trying
literally.
Yeah.
And oh, wow.
So you're not in a safe place. You're not in a comfortable place.
Oh my God. And it's not, doesn't have to just do with like the fullness of your, okay. No, I've never heard that before. That's insane.
It's more cell exchange, blood exchange. And, wow. And this is where I was kind of talking about for people who want to dive into this deeper and why I brought up the industrial age is even in the 19th century, we found a lot of like George Catlin was a dude who came over here and found out about the jaw anatomy, and the indigenous tribes were not mouth breathers, but they were living close to nature. They were chewing, mm-hmm. they were breastfed into like age 4, 5, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. They weren't eating processed food. They weren't under urbanized cities. They weren't modernized. They weren't using machinery and all these sort of things that the industrial That's age crazy. Brought.
I mean,
yeah. And so they were unconsciously living healthy. And so when you look at the jaw actually changed in anatomy and became weaker in the last couple hundred years. Yeah. 200 years, 250 years.
Evolution right there.
Yeah. And so that's
crazy.
Yeah. And so that's coming from soft foods, mass production of food. That's coming from society. That's coming from when you're in New York or I'm in big cities all the time and you hear sirens all the time. Like those are alarms.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always getting triggered.
That's bananas to me.
Yeah. Is that, am I wrapping that?
Yeah. No. Oh my God. Yeah. And I mean, like my question too is like, okay, so with all that, you're going to these people, you're these athletes, right? And like, what are you seeing to say like, hey, you need this breath work and how do you practice it? Like literally, are you sitting with them? You know what I mean? Like, are you practicing that breath?
Yeah, I don't think that it's like the reason why I went down that rabbit
hole. No, I love hearing that because I want to understand.
Yeah, no doubt.
Seek to understand.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I say that because the first thing that pretty much is going to happen with anybody that I meet is they breathe vertically. They breathe because of society. So the first thing that you need to do is you need to teach them how to breathe mechanically sound, which mm-hmm. is horizontally breathing. It's not necessarily breathing through your nose that's accurate. It's being able to break the north to south style breath that you unconsciously created and you became habitual with it.
Yeah.
So we need to break that and you need to get your ribs to expand. And so to get the ribs to breathe, you know, horizontally, now you kind of get this 360 degree feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a safety belt and you learn how to breathe with the whole diaphragm.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like if people, like, we'll be able to see this, right?
Yeah, they'll see it. Yep, they will.
If you think of it, like when you breathe like this, your diaphragm sits like an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
When I inhale and it flattens all the way, that's protecting the spine, the back and everything. And so the first thing that I'm interested in with an athlete in any sense of breath work, I'm never excited to get to breath work. Because you don't necessarily need breath work if you can breathe mechanically sound and through your nose all the time. So the first objective is how do we get the diaphragm to work? And this is the reason why this is difficult. There's no nerve endings on your diaphragm. So people can't feel it working like a bicep.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can go do bicep curls and go, got it.
I know where I'm feeling.
Yeah,
right?
But like, you need that breath 20,000, you know, whatever, thousands of times a day. So to have a nerve endings and have responses from the diaphragm would be exhausting.
Yeah.
So that can't happen. So the diaphragm, again, nature set us up. And so you have to get the awareness down. And that happens through a series of whatever it takes to get the movement. So I'm usually watching that visibly, how can I see them move? Mm-hmm. It's usually without touching them. I just have someone breathe in front of me and then from the side, and I'll have them breathe through the mouth, have them breathe through the nose. And I'm just kind of like watching them and just seeing if I can see the front part of the ribs expand horizontally instead of vertically.
Yeah.
And then getting into the sides, like I'm poking around, I'm touching the side of the ribs, the back of the ribs. Can they get into the back, which is really difficult? And can they make things move? And that's kind of the first part. Once the mechanics are done and we sort of have that dialed, then it's like any strength program. It's like, how do we get consistent? How do you do this to start your workout? How do you do this in the morning? Whatever. Then we can kind of go up the chain and we can talk physiology, not psychology yet. So if we look at first and foremost, mechanics and anatomy, that's important. And then two would be your physiology. This is like where Wim Hof gets a great name, and people really attract to that because you feel something. Mm-hmm. People like feeling, which is why I would imagine cold has blown up as a trend, and which is fine, but it's feeling. Mm-hmm. So you feel something. Breath holds make you feel something. Hyperventilating makes you feel something. But that, you know, you can move physiology by the way you breathe, which is incredible.
Yeah.
The fact that you can shift up and down and control the nervous system.
That is insane to think about.
It's insane.
It's like these things, but it's funny how everybody thinks like, I mean, not everybody, that's a very blanket statement, but a lot of people think like this is just a fad. You know, you don't need to be doing breath work. You don't need to be doing sauna and cold tub therapy. You don't need sound baths. You don't need all of this grounding. What would you say to somebody who's saying that?
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
For me, I have had that question so many times. I don't know if I've been aware of getting it recently for the last couple of years, because for me, I don't care to sell it. Mm-hmm. I don't care to talk about it. It's really just comes down to a worldview. Like, you really think of it, you're either above nature, which is a large worldview, and there has some negative effects to that, but there also are some positive effects to that.
Yep.
Or you believe that your worldview is that you are a part of nature, which my worldview aligns more with the fact that we are nature. So, you know, to disconnect from the sun means that you're disconnected from nature. There's an incredible disruption of the nervous, or the circadian rhythm and the nervous system and the sleep cycles, and you know, you're gonna have GI issues, and these are all disconnections. Mm-hmm. You know, and so to me, it's not necessarily trying to sell grounding or heat or cold. It's more so appreciating the connection that you are yourself, nature. The other thing that I think, and if I may just kind of add this in there, is a part to the thinking that like we're creating this, you know, and I just wrote a little piece about this that, you know, in fourth BC, I mean, Roman doctors were supplying cold exposure as a health modality. This is 2,500 years ago, you know, like sound baths have been around for thousands of years, 4,000, 5,000 people documented this for a significant amount of time. I mean, those in Australia, that was one of the main health modalities, was sound, you know? And so you look at sauna, I mean, indigenous tribes have been using that for thousands of years to connect with the spirit.
That's right.
You know, so you hit the steam and you hit the rocks and you create that steam effect. That was actually your moment to break through. And so that's all connection. That's a sauna bath. That's a spiritual part of it. And these are not new age concepts. Mm-mm. These are very like long standing principles
It's interesting you said that too, because I feel like I've heard that of like, it's like this new idea. It's like this new age of life. And it's like, no, it is not. It's been around forever, which actually should make people want to lean into it more versus new fads that we hear about. Right. And this is real, like indigenous people practices that we are bringing into modern day society to help us hopefully turn back almost time, not time, but you know what I mean? Like the reactions of where we are, which is crazy. I mean,
Yeah. So I don't know if that answers that, but
no, it does. I like your answers. You answer in a different way. And I prefer that. Like you have a larger idea versus like straight to the point. Like if I asked you a yes or no, you wouldn't answer with yes or no. You'd answer with an actual thought. And I prefer that. So you don't even worry about how you're answering. Cause you, this is beautiful.
Cool.
I have a question because you brought up toxic masculinity. And we were talking a little bit about that. We barely touched on it, but what has it been like bringing, just this, and you didn't say toxic, you said masculinity in general, but there is a lot of energy of toxic masculinity where, you know, men and boys, as they grow up, they're not, you know, accustomed to their emotions, and emotions are a reaction to something, like you're talking about your reaction, the yips or whatever, did I say it right?
Yep.
It's emotional, right? And it's in your, it's psychological and physiological, like you're talking about, but what was it like bringing something that's kind of like a new idea into to a group of men? Cause the MLB is men, and like getting their backing on it.
I knew that would be an issue. And I think one of the things I had going for me was that I played. And one of the things that I watched be missed all the time when I was a player was people would come in and they would tell you to, you know, just breathe or let's meditate. Like when I played, we'd have people that would always come in and try to get us to meditate. And we hated it. I hated it. And we would always tell our coaches, like, stop doing that. Stop bringing people in to come in and play rain music.
That's what I was going to say, rain.
Yeah, and have us sit down and breathe and meditate. And one of the things that why that's really difficult, I don't think just males, but for anybody, is like, go tell anybody to just close their eyes and sit in their subconscious. That's a very dark place to be. So now to do that with a group of people, especially men, and just kind of let yourself be, without any sort of training or coaching or some serious thought into why you would do that, that's not going to stick. Yeah. And so I think part of when I was saying building the momentum over the course of a few years, a lot of me not being excited to deliver the message right away was I don't know why I was able or capable of thinking like this. It was more so like studying. The more free reps that I had or gave, every time I did that, I had a viewpoint into how a man or a masculine alpha professional athlete thought. Mm-hmm. And so I was using all these free reps because I knew the second that I added a transaction, it was over. Like it was like real now. You're a professional. You need to, once there's a transaction, it's all changes. You better
deliver. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I used a lot of free reps to kind of try to understand how people were going to allow this in. And if you think of, this is somewhat relevant still, but a lot of people are using social media and cold exposure to connect that with stoicism. And they're connecting that with a stoic thought. And that really resides with males. And it's like Wim Hof. People really like the breathing of Wim Hof because it makes them feel high and they feel connected. And then you think of the cold exposure, well, it's suffering and it's tough. And all that stuff eventually translates into peace and presence and flow and meditation. And
which is not considered as masculine. I'm putting air quotes in the air, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. And so I think the best way I can answer that is that a yoga instructor told me years ago, we went out to coffee one time after she was done with one of her workshops, and she had a sweet line to me. She said that you always want to learn the learner in anything that you're doing. And so to me, you know, Wim Hof, the breathing style of that, and I don't want to say Wim Hof as like the guy, let's talk about, we can call it the style of breathing in cold exposure. All that stuff is beautiful. I don't care how you get to it. If that's what it takes to get you to connect with me, I'll learn you the more I listen to you. And then we can get into the nitty gritties of things. And so why I say that is because I wanted to take the exact opposite approach of the approach that was being brought to me. And they were bringing meditation to me when I played and my teammates in the very traditional yoga, sit down and listen to the rain breathing. And it's like, All right, guys want to feel that. We all have a feminine and a masculine side. We want to feel the capacity of both of our extremes. We want to understand dualism, and we want to be able to shift and go back and forth. The ego attacks us at one side of it, speaking from a male. We get so masculine, and we only know how to play that role, so it's easy and it becomes comfortable. And so to come over here and play this softer role is very uncomfortable.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, and we don't know how to do it.
Especially with athletes, even more extreme in the masculine realm.
So think about learning the learner. So if you're going to come to the masculine side and say, okay, this is this feminine, softer, quieter side, and like, not only do I not want you to tiptoe into it, I want you to just be here and just be this feminine. I'm using that just from the dualities, feminine, masculine, which we all have. Females have the masculine side. Like, this isn't a male-only suggestion. But what I was seeing is that they were looking at the field of performance in sports was trying to take people to the other extreme, who had mastered one extreme and had never even dipped toes over here. So you have to start and meet them where they're at. Like, masculine athletes were loving this high tempo, stressful breathing, extreme cold, throw the 220 degree sauna and steam it. And I'm going to post, and I didn't care because that started the process.
Brought them towards the other pieces, like the breath work and like the sound baths and okay, wow. Okay.
And so you have to take your time.
Yep.
And you have to, I started playing around with sound bowls a few years ago. I didn't implement that into my teaching for 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's something where, because it wasn't time, and you have to be super in tune with the time. And when the time's right, I think over the years of developing any sort of subjective creative act, the timing hits when it needs to hit. And if you can learn out really quickly, this isn't landing right now, get out. Like, it's not time yet. So just let it be. Mm-hmm. And that was something I watched specifically with heat and cold, is that, I originally started a business for heat and cold. I wanted to do mobile saunas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And that business failed. Like, I failed that business in 2018. There was no market. Now in 2024, you're almost kind of like a fool if you're not trying to start a sauna and ice.
I know. You're like, but you were early.
Yes.
You were early. Yeah. Fair.
And
fair enough.
And we failed. Like, we had we couldn't get clients at all. Like, I couldn't get anybody to do that.
But failing a business is pretty powerful because it brought you to your next one. They always say that too.
No doubt. Like, yeah. Wow. And it did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, your impact you've had is crazy. Hearing about just like working with these people and like opening, I don't know, it's wowing to me of like opening up the minds of these athletes of like, go hard, go hard, go hard. And then it's like actually slow down and take a breath and let's do some sound bath work, which is so cool. What are you seeing as the reaction to your work in athletes? Just out of curiosity.
That's a cool question. I don't think I can answer that concretely or like confirm anything. I think that what I'm seeing is a level of curiosity that is becoming like really fun to be a part of. But I don't think that's just the athletes. I think that that's optimistically, I think that that's like all of us. And that's what I'm saying. I think that, trends develop conformity, which you can make your claim on whether or not you agree with those things or not. I tend to lean away from conforming. So the more trendy that a sauna on ice gets usually tends to kick me out. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that I leave it. I love sauna on ice and I believe in it tremendously. It's a medicine and it's a tool. But trends aren't all that bad because trends at least start the conversation.
Fair enough.
And so now all of a sudden, when you find the conforming of it, there can be a lot that you can learn in that aspect. And so what I would say with athletes is that it needed a trend from my perspective. It needed a trend to make mindfulness and nature and heat and cold. It needed the trend to create the conversation.
Yeah.
And now from my point of view, from where the world that I live in, at least, you're learning the learner in a way faster rate. People are way more willing to share and open up about their understanding of holistic tools and health tools in their lives. And they're starting to try to understand traumas in their early lives. And they're trying to understand the relationships that they have currently. And so, pessimistically, we can sit here and call conforming bad and trends bad and social media is bad and all that stuff, which is fine. The positives of it is that I think that the way in which the 21st century, our generations, if you will, I think one of the things that we're doing is that we're speaking at a large scale we're interconnected, billions of us, and like we're doing these things and these trends that is at least allowing you to get there faster. And so now you're, what I'm finding is that the athlete is willing to explain or express things to you faster than they were, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Very true.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Okay.
That's what I've noticed.
No, that's what, yeah, your takeaways. Wow. That's, I mean, that's amazing. And performance wise, how are they, like, do you feel like you're seeing them shift in that their performance too?
Well, I think the thing that you're after whenever you're talking about anything that we're talking about is sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily does it make you run faster today? It's more of, can you run faster today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. And then also when sports are over, just like keep running. You know,
be alive.
Yeah, be alive. Mm-hmm. Keep thinking. And I think what's really cool about everything that we're talking about, when you do holistic as like a practice, because all this stuff is holistic. It's all natural modalities to move your nervous system.
Yep.
So when you shift into, like I was talking to a client this morning and I was telling him how, you know, okay, let's not talk about the science or anything that you hear on Twitter. When you take a warm shower, what are you doing? You're thinking, okay? When you take a cold shower, what are you doing? You're getting ready to work. If I take a cold shower, I get out of the cold shower and I'm activated. But if I'm taking a cold shower, I'm not thinking about my business.
Nope.
Or I'm not meditating.
I don't have time to do that. I'm reacting to the cold.
Right. So the whole thing is the trends say do something hard, non-negotiable, do this, do this, do this. And it's always cold. So then people are like, I got to do a cold shower. I got to do a cold shower. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, don't lose the power of a warm shower. I've come up with some of the best ideas in my life in a warm shower.
That's where most of my thought happens for work and creatively.
Yeah. So think back to the beginning of this whole conversation, physiology first. So use stimulus to move your physiology. So why would you ever dissociate yourself or dismiss a warm shower?
Mm.
Well, the trend says that you're comfort and you're just falling into the, but let's
so
talk.
Extreme.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Like it's a very thinking, productive space to be in. Okay. The cold is let's go ready to work. And so when I was asking him this, why I'm bringing this up is that, that's a thing that you can do every day for the rest of your life. And so if you're a baseball player, or a football player, or a hockey player, and you performed last night well, but the media blew you up and people are saying you performed poorly and now you're getting an insane amount of messages and that messes with the human mind.
Of course it does.
Okay, well, maybe you need a hot shower to sit there and digest and just kind of become aware and mindful and chill out and do your thing. And the next day you can take your cold shower and get ready to work. Does that make sense?
No, I like that though. I've never heard it of the flip because everyone I do hear is like extreme, extreme, get into it. Don't pull back. Don't do this, yeah. You know? And I like hearing that. No, it's actually a balance of everything. It's a balance of all things, not just doing the extremist things and doing this and, you know, react this breath work specifically where it like hyperventilate to get in that state. I like that. That's really interesting. You talk about how this is like sustainability as like your practice.
Yeah.
What can someone, not an athlete, anybody, which a lot of what you're saying is talking about everybody, can they take away from all of these practices? Like how can they even start? Like, I'm sure there's listeners right now that are like, I would love to start breath work. Wouldn't know how. I would love to start doing sauna cold tub. Wouldn't know how or sound bath therapy. And why would I start it?
To me, everything is everything. You are an organism that essentially floats through life. And every single thing that you do today and tomorrow and the next day, et cetera, you have to realize that you run on a hamster wheel unconsciously. And I think, and again, you already said this to me, I won't say yes or no, I'm going to give you a thought, but I think this thought needs to be understood if you were to ask that question, because if someone asks me that question and says, how do I start with breath work? Okay. Well, the answer is watch this video of how I gave that 5-second clip of how the diaphragm works, make it do that and breathe through your nose, unless you're eating, training really hard or talking,
mm-hmm.
and then do that forever until you die. And people how sustainable is that going to be? And the thing is that you kind of already gave this, our brain hates uncertainty more than anything. So the response to that is typically like, no, that's not good enough. Give me a protocol. Okay, well, here's the protocol. Science has shown that coherence and cadence breathing at any pace of 3 seconds in, pause, 3 seconds out, maximize that at 5 seconds in, pause, 5 seconds out. You rep that out for 12, 15 minutes, your nervous system completely resets. So wow. Do a cadence breath every day for the rest of your life. But then how sustainable is that?
I was going to say.
Right. And so then, you look at, and if you watch people do this, people have a really difficult time breathing in for 5 seconds because they don't know how to use the diaphragm. So now we got to figure out how to get the diaphragm to work. And this all sounds daunting, extremely doable. But where I would urge people, if they were to ask me that question, what I would urge you to do is to stop trying to have the protocol and the certainty that you think you want. Mm-hmm. And think of your life, as I just said, this is my advice that I probably will change at some point in another podcast in a few years of me learning my own self. But it's more so learning that the hamster wheel that you live on, if you can step outside of that and study your day to day, I think you'll realize that every single impact or every stimulus has a response on your body and your mind. And so when you take a shower, instead of just like taking a shower, like think of what the shower is.
And what it's doing to your body.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like if I'm in the morning and I need to go to work, or if I have a morning job, or I need something where I need to be activated or I need to be on, why would you loll away in a full-time hot shower and just wear yourself out? Like it doesn't make sense. Now, if you want to take a hot shower and clean off and use the soap and be in a thing where you can actually like wash yourself, that's fine. The only thing you have to do to now prepare, and I already said this, is cold is for work. Just flip it to cold. And turn your metabolism on, get the cold shock, turn your nervous system on. And it's literally it's a switch on your nervous system. You just turned it on. So instead of slugging 8 Red Bulls and the coffees and the caffeine pills and the pain pills and all the stuff that you will drive by 100 different options on your way to work, just take the 15-second cold shower hit. And this is where I referenced the industrial age and modern society, is that because we are unconscious, society has formed, and it's no fault but the humanity itself, and we're part of this. Mm-hmm. It's formed us into the position where it's so convenient and so easy to not do a 15-second cold shower that you will do all the things that disrupt you physiologically. And then you'll ask someone like myself, what's the protocol to get out of this?
Without being aware at all of all the things that you're doing that are causing the reaction.
Exactly.
So it is like taking the steps to look at what's causing things or what you're doing to your body on a day to day. Cause I can even think in my head of things that I'm like, oh my God, that probably made me, no wonder I was having like tight chest breathing out of nowhere that I thought was, you know, randomized because it's just anxiety. No, it was a reaction to something that had happened that day. You know what I mean? And the stressful driving that when I had my road rage, like, you know, an hour ago or whatever, like it's like all these reactions to sounds and wow, that's cool. So that's easy. Like, I'm like, I can take that and I can apply it to my real life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not overwhelmed. I don't feel like I have a list of things to do. Breath work. I'm like, I can just practice where my breath is going and practice nose breathing. It's not an amount. It's not of how frequent. It's not like do this until forever and then you die. It's like, oh, just be mindful of these things.
Yeah.
Just and be, apply.
Exactly. You want to observe and become aware and mindful, to use your word right there, which is a beautiful word, because your senses, just think senses, all my senses are getting triggered by all kinds of things. So when I'm underneath light, that's not the sun. That's not nature. Now we need light. You're going to be in front of light. Mm-hmm. Just think of how that impacts you. So what would you do without needing a protocol? Significant times throughout the day when you find that you're that flow state or that thinking or that fast problem solving mind that you have, like that first part of your day, you know, you get really creative in the mm-hmm. morning and you're really jacked up and then you lose it. You kind of mm-hmm. have that crash midday, like at 11, well, me, I get around like 11:30 noon. So, okay, what would you do in that instance? Instead of like pushing through that, just go outside for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes and just breathe through your nose and just like get your senses out of it, get out of the light, let the direct sunlight hit you, stare at some trees and everything will come back. And then you can go back into it. And then all of a sudden you can feel that again. I'm feeling that again. Okay, let me get out and let me reset. Okay, and then you're kind of doing these loops and you're figuring out your own timing and your own dosage to certain practices. And I think that that changes forever. I have spurts where I'm super into Wim Hof. I have spurts where I'm super into cadence breathing. I have spurts where I'm not into breathing at all.
Yep.
And so that's fine. But when you spend a significant amount of days on end running running its course and you're reacting, you're having things that are really frustrated, you find your flow states are minimal, you find yourself reacting with people that you love. Mm-hmm. Okay, something physiologically is off. So just go to the basics: breathing, nutrition, movement, sleep. And because we have consciousness, we're humans, we have social connection. So if there's a leak in one of those chains, you have an issue. So if I'm breathing poorly, but I feel like I'm sleeping good, I'm moving well, I'm eating all the right food, and I love my significant other, but I'm breathing poorly. Okay, well, what are things that, do you have a cold? Is it flu season? Do you feel like you've been rushed? Do you feel like you're tight in your neck, your shoulders, muscles? Okay, well, like there's a leak in that chain. Mm-hmm. So you just fix the breathing and you get back. You're back into your flow. And when you have that flow, you're not reacting in rush hour, you're responding in rush hour, mm-hmm. which is just like, go to the other lane.
Yeah. It's like not a big deal. Yeah. Or my thought process has changed where I'm like, oh, they're going through something. And then I just like kind of, you know, and you shuffle about your day and now you're onto the next thing.
Right.
For me, I find my reactions are always when I'm overstimulated,
100%.
Usually low on sleep and usually breathing, which would mean something about anxiety, which is like a reaction to something happening in my life. So it's like that's cool. The five things, that is something I want to like take away and like apply to my real life. And I feel like everybody listening can apply that too. Mm-hmm. That was super interesting. I'm like, I know you won't be in Minnesota for a while because you're going to be bopping around, but I might need to have you back because yeah, I was no like, doubt. I'm like, I have 20 more questions that I'm like, I didn't even get to. And I'm like, I would have loved to get to them. Where can people find you and when and where will your next book be?
I can't remember what my Twitter name is. I think it's Harvey J. Martin. My Instagram, just Harvey J. Martin, is sort of the pass that I use. So you can kind of just go there, I suppose. My book is Breathe, Focus, Excel. And then my next book, I'm not going to say the title yet.
Okay, deal. We'll find it though. I can shout it out once you get
it. Yeah, there you go. I'm hunting down some opportunities. I got a couple routes that I think I'm going to take it with some publishers, but I've also thought about self-publishing and that way not really having any guardrails on what's written. But that is done. So we're in the process of just kind of making that decision really right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that should be out. I would hope that that's out by the summer for sure. If I get lucky, I think it'd be out like March or April. That book is going to be a little bit more philosophical. So back to your question about protocols. I know I don't like answering them on purpose, and I do that on purpose, especially on a podcast, but my book has tons of protocols.
You can read the book, which I'm about to go order.
Yeah. There's a ton of protocols on there. Sauna protocols, cold protocols, grounding protocols, all that stuff. The book that I'm writing right now has a lot more to do with kind of what we've been talking a little bit about. It has a lot to do with like, how we repeat ourselves through trends and how we can form through trends, and what that the problem that comes from doing that is that we mismanage the timing and the dosage of what individuals need. And I'll just give a quick example. I know we're coming out of time here, but it's like,
there's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
You know, everyone who does sauna and ice now, for the most part, I get to travel the country and talk about this stuff. But for the most part, like everyone, if you ask, and I asked recently, I'll ask people, if I were a client of yours and you had 75 minutes to fill, what would be your protocols? And the most common response to that is, well, I'd have you do 20 minutes in the sauna and 3 minutes in the cold, which is fine. But if you want to look at the last couple of years, that's really the only large scale media science protocol that we have. And so there's no one on the planet that's average, because you're different than me.
Very true.
We're different physiologies. We're different mental experiences, physical experiences. We're different genes. We're different blood. We're different, all stuff. So I would just say for people listening to this, watch the next couple of years, because that will change and it'll start to be used and it'll be utilized. And I had a mentor who was a scientist. I'll keep his name private for personal reasons, and everyone would know him if I said this. He told me this 7 years ago, that it usually takes 7 years to catch up. And he was extremely accurate on when the media and when we would kind of trend a sauna and cold. And again, that's not a bad thing, because it's holistic and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful practice, and I hope people really enjoy getting into it. And I even use these protocols in the book. But the point I'm making is that if you study that deeply, you know, that came out, I think Yari Lukinen was the guy who came out of that. He's a Finnish doctor, and he kind of repped like 60, 70,000 Finns over a couple of years. And then Rhonda Patrick grabbed a hold of that. And then it kind of took its place and
trickles.
Yeah. And it trickled, and they're beautiful protocols, and they have great protocols. But what we're having across the country is everyone using the same protocol, and that will change.
Yep.
And where I think that becomes really cool is that we're in a state right now where we need to individually learn the timing and the dosage of the individual. And as that creates into our lives in the future, what I think that'll turn into is you're going to see a lot of the stuff being grounding, breath work, sound, is all sensory stimulation. You're going to find that being used across many mediums on how to help people heal.
Okay.
And I think that that becomes a shift truly in like our species. And I talk about that large scale. And I think that you're going to see that start to transition into humanity, and you're going to watch people find very sustainable, healthy outlets inside of a very chaotic environment that we built.
That's pretty amazing too. And it's all, it's, you're seeing trends happen. Like you, the trend come to life, the 7 year thing too. So it's like, these people will likely not be wrong, which is likely what we're going to see in a few years as we start to get it more tailored to the person and all these things. That's so cool. I mean, I'm hopeful of that because
too.
I love learning about it. It's all new. Like I, the company I work for has some stuff downtown that they, and I for the first time tried like red light therapy and cold exposure, and, you know, not in a tub, but like in a room or in like a chamber. And it was really scary at first. And then I was like, oh, I kind of like this. And now I'm going back. And now it's like, I see the reaction of like, weird. I noticed my anxiety less because of it, like just crazy stuff. And it's like, there's no way that these things, I mean, it, we talk about trends being quote unquote bad, but you're right. It's really not bad, because it starts the conversation and the evolution of how we can have more people, have the knowledge and the wherewithal to like have access to it, which is cool.
No doubt.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you for everything. Seriously. I honestly, we probably will have to have you back. I know you'll be traveling and doing all your things, and good luck in the season.
Thank you.
By the way, everybody, thank you for listening, for watching. Check it out on YouTube too, by the way, because Harvey talked about some deep breath work, and he did some hand motions that you probably didn't see if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you are. At Well Said Podcast. Remember, if you ever need advice separately to anything we talk about, whatever it is that comes up, it's, my number is 612-470-7569. You can call. It'll ring for a hot minute, but it will turn over to voicemail, and you can leave me a message or even a thought about the episode, which is amazing. So appreciate you, Harvey, again. Thank you for being here. That was awesome. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. R-I-T-E-R-U-G.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.